And all God's people said, amen and amen. Well, take your Bibles and turn in them with me to the book of Philippians, Philippians the third chapter. And in just a moment, we'll be reading from verses 12 down through verse 16. For the last couple of weeks, I have been doing a series of messages entitled Revive Me. And I've preached these messages to you in order to challenge, motivate, and encourage you in your walk with the Lord. And because I want him to be able to do all that he wants to do in your heart and in your life. And the series Revive Me, because all of us go through times in our lives where we need the Lord to stir our hearts up and to revive us afresh and anew. We've looked at two messages. This will be the third one. The first message I shared with you is that we must learn to deal with sin in our lives when we sin as believers. And if we don't deal with our sin properly, we will never prosper. Proverbs 28:18 said, he who conceals his transgression will not prosper, but he who confesses and forsakes them will find compassion, will find mercy. I did not read this particular verse I'm about to read when I did this message with you, but there's a verse in the New Testament, Acts 3, verses 19 and 20, though it never uses the word revival in it. It really is what revival is all about. And this is what the writer said when he wrote, therefore, repent and return that your sins may be wiped away in order that times of refreshing, personal revival may come from the presence of the Lord and that he may send Jesus the Christ appointed for you. And folks, for a lot of us, for a lot of our churches, we need to repent and return to the Lord so God can send his refreshing spirit to us. And he will not send him until we get our sins right. That's the importance of dealing with our sin. Last week, we talked about the fact that we cannot be right with God and wrong with our fellow man. The scriptures teach us that we must pursue peace with all men and not allow bitterness and unforgiveness and resentfulness to be in our hearts towards another person. And folks, I have to tell you, I've had a number of you come up to me or tell me that, boy, after last week's message, you had to go get something right with another person, or how God stirred your heart to be able to deal with an issue in your life and in your family. And you cannot walk with God. God's not going to send his reviving spirit to you if you've got hatred, unforgiveness, resentfulness, anger, malice, all those nasty nasties in your heart towards another person. And you cannot be right with God and wrong with a fellow man or woman at the same time. Well, this morning, the sermon I want to share with you deals with another area that I think is also important and that we have to deal with in order to be revived. The title of the message is simply Freed from the Past. Our text is Philippians 3, verses 12 to 16. And since I'll be reading one section of scripture, not jumping all over the place for at least the next minute or two, let's stand together in honor of God's word. Would you do that? Philippians 3, verses 12 down through verse 16. Paul writes and he says, not that I have already obtained it or have already become perfect, but I press on so that I may lay hold of that for which I was laid hold of by Christ Jesus. Brethren, I do not regard myself as having laid hold of it yet, but one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind and reaching forward to what lies ahead, I press on towards the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. Let us, therefore, as many as are perfect, have this attitude. And if in anything you have a different attitude, God will reveal that also to you. However, let us keep living by that same standard to which we have attained. Lord, thank you for your word today. I pray that you'll help us this morning see how to lay aside that which is behind us and press forward to what you have for us. And we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. Well, it has been my experience over these years of living the Christian life, or at least seeking to live out the Christian life, and also of observing people in the years of ministry that I've had, that people cannot live and function in the present certainly not in the future, many people, because they're in bondage to their past. Some people look back at their lives, and for one reason or the other, their past haunts them, and they cannot properly relate to the present, and they cannot in any way relate to what God has for them in the future. And if you want to know God's reviving work, you're going to have to deal with your past. I remember one lady years ago in one of the first churches that I pastored, I counseled with her. She set up an appointment, came to the office, and she was just troubled about her life. And to make a long, long story short, she began to share how she had guilt in her life over her past, and somehow she just could not press on in her walk with the Lord Jesus. As a younger person, she had been involved in immorality. Although she had been saved and constantly trying to walk with the Lord, she constantly lived under an umbrella of guilt. She lived with a condemning spirit, and the enemy just gripped her heart and never would let her put that behind her, nor would she ever walk on with the Lord. She was one of these that would run down the aisle about every 2 or 3 weeks wanting to rededicate her life. She was in bondage to her past, and she could not experience God's reviving work in her life because she was living in bondage to the past. And there are many people in our churches that are just like that. But you know, not only is this true of individual Christians, it can also be true of churches. There are too many churches today that do not experience God's reviving work in the present because they are in bondage to the past. I don't know how many times I've heard people in a church say something like this. They remember how it used to be. How it used to be. The good old days. We used to run a lot more in church than we do now. We used to have such a sweet fellowship. We used to have a better pastor and or staff members. I just wish we could go back the way it used to be. And folks, can I just say to you as bluntly as I can, if that's your attitude here today, this church will never move forward to be what God wants it to be tomorrow or for the future. You cannot live in the past. You're in bondage to the past. And God will never be able to work in a fresh way today, much less tomorrow, if that is the attitude of your heart. It's good that we can look back at the past. We can rejoice in what God has done for us. We can thank God for the good times, but you can't live there. Nobody can. And in our text this morning, Paul deals with this whole matter. Notice again verse 13. He says about the past, I forget what lies behind, but he goes another step forward, and I reach forward to what lies ahead. Again, the sad fact is there are many of God's people today that cannot reach for what lies ahead because they want to live in the past. And in many ways, because of that, they are in bondage to the past. They have not forgot what lies behind them, so they can't press forward. So for this morning, I want us to see why this may be true and what we could do to deal with our past. And the prayer of our heart needs to be this: Oh Lord, revive me from my past so I can be what you want me to be today and what you want me to be tomorrow. And by the way, church, let me say this to you. Your prayer for this church ought to be, Lord, help me not to live in the past, but do what you have to do in me and in this church so we can be what you want us to be today and tomorrow. Now, can I get an amen to that? And if I can't get an amen to that, I hope God deals with your heart so you can say amen to that. Amen? Can I tell you I love you this morning? So let me begin this morning. Let's deal with this. The burden of the past, first of all. 3 points today. The burden of the past. Why does God not want us carrying the burden of the past? And again, while it's true, we can reflect and remember on the past. hold on to good memories from the past, even learn from our past. We cannot live in the past. Here are three reasons, or four reasons, we're not to carry the burden of the past. Number one, you can't live in the past because the past is past. Now that's profound, isn't it? Are you impressed with that statement from me this morning? I thought about that for a long, long time. The past is the past. But folks, that statement really is profound if you stop and think about it. It really is. The reality is that no one can go back and relive the past. What done is done. No redoing it. No second chances. If you're a golfer, no mulligans. They don't come. Good, bad, or indifferent, the past is past, and it cannot be undone or relived. And that's a hard reality for some people to accept. But this is a fact that must both be understood and accepted. What is done is done. The past is past. That's why God doesn't want us living in it. Like everybody here today. Boy, I got things in my life I at times wished I could go back and redo. Mistakes I'd made. Mistakes I made as a teenager. Oh, my soul. I'd love to have a couple of days I could go back and relive and change some things that I caused me great issues over my years of life and living. I wish I could go back and change some of the mistakes I made as a parent. I had them, and I wish I could go back and redo them, but I can't. Mistakes I made in my walk with God over the years, and there have been many. Hey, here in our text, even Paul said, I'm not where I'm supposed to be yet. This is Paul. I've not arrived yet. I'm not there. So I can't keep from pressing on. Boy, even in the ministry, I look back and even though I can rejoice in the good things I've seen God do over the years, you know, it's interesting. While I've been your interim, I've talked about some of the good things that's happened. Some of the good points. I ain't told you the bad. I hadn't told you the struggles. They've been there. If you talk to some of my church members that I had, they tell you. There are mistakes. I wish I could go back and redo, but the truth is I can't go back and undo these. And here's a simple reason. The past is past. So I determined a long time ago, I've quit desiring to go back and redo them. I came back, I've come to the place of realizing that if I could go back and correct those mistakes, I would only make some other mistakes. I can't go back, so quit trying to go back. The past is past. That's why God doesn't want us living in it. Secondly, this morning, you can't live in the past because God's emphasis is today. God sometimes reminds us of the past to remember and to show us where we've come from and to remind us of his faithfulness in the past. But when you look at the Bible, at God's work in his people, the emphasis is always on today and always on tomorrow. It amazes me in the church how there are a lot of people can talk about what God did in their life 50 years ago, but if you ask them, what is God doing in your life today, they go blank. In fact, let me just be honest with you. One of my concerns about our churches are we have church roles that are filled with people that can talk about here, there, in their 50s, 60s, 70s. And they can tell you when they walked down the aisle of a church, joined a church, was baptized 50, 60 years ago. But if you ask them, what does that mean to you today? What difference does that make in your life now? How is that working in your life today? They go blank. It means nothing. And if folks, if what happened to you 50 years ago is not still changing your life today, you have to question what happened to you 50 years ago. Somebody made the statement one time, the greatest mission field in America is our church roles, membership roles, because they're filled with people who walked down an aisle and joined the church but never was converted, never were radically changed by Jesus. Never was born again. And besides just the habit of going to church, they can't tell you how God is at work in their life. But boy, they can talk about back then. Back then. You can't live in the past because God's emphasis is on today. Thirdly, you can't live in the past because you need new faith for today. Have you figured that one out yet? You got to have new faith today to walk with God. Old faith won't do. You have to have new faith for today. And while, again, we can learn from our past walk with God and we can see how He's worked in our lives in the past, I have to have new faith in my life today to deal with today's problems and today's need. The faith I had last week will not get me through today. The children of God wandering in the wilderness is a perfect example of that. God gave us a visual picture to remind us of that. Do you remember God made he made provision for them for food? He gave them manna. Do you know what manna was? The word manna in the Hebrew translates to mean, what is it? I'm serious. I say it was a, really what manna was a church covered dish casserole. Because what I like plain food. I don't like all this junk together, food mixed. I like it plain, okay? I don't want it mixed together. And if I go down a church covered dish, people, preacher, try some of mine. I look at it and I go, manna. What is it? What's in it? Just try it. No, I don't work that way. I want to know what's in it. But do you remember manna? Did God give them enough at one time to last a whole month? Oh, no. Did He even give them enough to last a week? Oh, no. With the exception of the Sabbath, they had to go out and pick it up every day of the week. It's really a picture of His word. Romans 10:17 reminds us, faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word of Christ. I have to go pick it fresh today, for today is true of faith. I can learn from my past. I can rejoice. God can strengthen me because of what He's done in my past. But folks, the truth of the matter is, I need fresh faith today to walk with God today. And you do too. That's why we can't live in the past. I cannot gather up faith today for what I need for tomorrow. Hey, here's the fourth reason you can't live in the past, because the best is yet to come for the believer. And that's good news. For us as believers, the best is yet to come. And while the past may or may not have been good, the best is yet to come for those of us who have a genuine relationship with God through His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. For us as believers, His desire for us today is that we experience His abundant life today. And then when we pass away and leave this old earth, He will give us heaven in the future, in the sweet by and by. But the truth of the matter is, it's just going to get better for those of us who know the Lord Jesus. That's why Paul wrote what he did in 1 Corinthians 2:9. But just as it is written, things which eye has seen and ear has not heard, that which has not entered the heart of man, all that God has prepared for those who love Him. And I don't want to miss any of it. I don't know about you. But if I'm in bondage to the past and can't get past the past, I'll never experience His best today or what He has for me in the days to come. The Apostle Paul tells us here in our text that we must forget what lies behind and press towards what lies ahead, the burden of the past. Secondly, this morning, let me talk about the bondage of the past. Bondage to the past. Why do so many people live in bondage to their past? And why can some people not put their past in the past? Well, I'm sure there's a lot of reasons. Let me just give you a few of the primary ones that I have found. Number one, some people are in bondage to their past because of bondage to sin. And you're going to see this is why I'm preaching this message third. You got to deal with sin in your life, folks. And if you don't, how it keeps you in bondage to your past. This really has a twofold application, if you would. First of all, you can find yourself in bondage to the past because of sin habits in your life that you developed from your past. And these sin habits cause strongholds of sin that keep you in bondage to the past and keep you from having victory in your life today. Addictions are a perfect example of that. Addictions to things like alcohol, tobacco, lust, anger, gossip. When people have habits of those sins, strongholds, addictions to those sins, they keep you from experiencing what God has for you today and for tomorrow. You cannot walk with God with strongholds of sin in your life. You'll never know His refreshing, reviving work when you're in constant bondage to a sin. But can I tell you this morning, Jesus can set you free. Jesus can set you free. He's the only one that can. But secondly, some are in bondage to their past because they have some sin in their life that they've never confessed and put behind them. Things they've tried to hide. Things they refuse to forget or to confess. Things that they've never got honest with God about, confessed and repented of those things. And those things have helped to keep you in darkness. You remember, again, I read it just a moment ago, Proverbs 28:18. He who conceals his transgression will not prosper. And it's only until you confess and forsake them that you'll find God's compassion, forgiveness, mercy. Only until you do that will you find freedom. You have to deal with sin in your past. You can't just cover it up, act like it didn't happen. Some people are in bondage to their past because of bondage to sin. Secondly, some people are in bondage to their past because they are in bondage to broken dreams. In other words, some people live in the past because their life has not turned out just like they had planned. Maybe you're living in self-pity because life just doesn't seem to be fair to you. And all your dreams have gone down the tubes. And you can't press on because you live in such a state of self-pity that God can't work in your life to revive you, restore you, and to press you on. You find that perfectly illustrated. I'm not going to take the time to go to these verses and read them and talk about it this morning just for time's sake. You see a perfect example of that of Joseph in the Bible. Joseph, you remember Genesis 45, his brothers beat him up, sold him into slavery. All his dreams all of a sudden went down the tubes. He went to Egypt, and there he could have had a pity party if he had wanted to, but instead of a pity party, he somehow saw God's sovereign hand at work in his life, even through tragedy, heartbreak, and broken dreams. He turned his life over to God afresh. Matter, God exalted him in Egypt, and you know how God used Joseph to rescue his country and his people when they went through a time of famine. Joseph did not let broken dreams keep him from being what God wanted him to be. Some people today live in the bondage of their broken dreams, and they can't get freed from it. Thirdly, some people are in bondage to their past because they live in the bondage of failure. The bondage to failure. Maybe there was a time in your life when you blew it and you haven't been able to forgive yourself, and the result, you are living in the bondage to your past failure. I mean, for some people, you have been such a failure in certain areas, you just cannot seem to move past it. And many people are living life in bondage to past failures. A broken marriage, family turmoil, fired from a job, didn't complete school, a moral breakdown of some type. But their failure, they have allowed their failure to keep them in bondage to the past, to where they can't press on with God. You know, one of my favorite examples of how a person totally failed, but yet he dealt with it properly and moved on, was the Apostle Peter. Peter, I love studying the life of Peter. I find myself in his life, Bible character, so often. I love preaching through 1 and 2 Peter, two of my favorite books in the Bible to preach through, because I see so much of myself in his writings. Peter blew it, didn't he? I mean, Peter was one of those guys when he walked with Jesus 3.5 years. He was one of those disciples that were bold, but yet Peter oftentimes opened his mouth to shift feet. He'd say the wrong thing at the wrong time. He failed often. What was his greatest failure? His greatest failure was denying Jesus. In fact, think about it. Judas denied Jesus once. And by the way, Judas didn't deal with it rightly, and he went out and hung himself, killed himself. Peter didn't deny Jesus once. He didn't deny Jesus twice. He denied Jesus 3 times. And when that cock finally crowed and he remembered the words that Jesus had told him about his coming failure, you remember what Peter did? It says in the Bible he went out and he wept bitterly. He realized he had totally blown it. But did he wallow in his failure? Did he quit in the midst of his trouble? Oh no, Peter dealt with it. In fact, the next time you see Peter, after he went out and wept bitterly, Jesus had a conversation with him about loving him. Peter dealt with his sin thoroughly. And the next time you find the Apostle Peter, the day after Pentecost, he's standing in Jerusalem amongst the crowd that crucified Jesus on the cross, and he's standing there not denying the Lord Jesus. He's standing there preaching to these ones that put Jesus on the cross, and he said, "You put him on the cross. You killed him. He came to die for the sins of the world, and you put him on the cross. Therefore, repent and be saved." And 3,000 people got saved that day. God changed him. Peter did not allow failure to keep him from being what God wanted him to be. Hey, he goes on to write in 2 Peter 3:17-18. I love these words, last words that we have in the Bible, that he wrote, "You therefore, beloved, knowing this beforehand, be on your guard so that you're not carried away by the error of unprincipled men and fall from your own steadfastness, but you grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. To him be the glory, both now and to the day of eternity. Amen." He didn't live in his failure. Hey, folks, some people are in bondage to their past because they live in bondage to fear. Again, a twofold application to that. What I mean is that some people fear that their past might be exposed. In other words, they've done things so horrific, so bad, but to this point, they've been able to keep it under wraps. But they fear they might be exposed. Hey, some people don't confess their sin to God because they fear they might be exposed if they tell God what they did. Can you think about how ridiculous that is? Do you really think God doesn't know what you did? He watched you do it. He heard you say it. He was there when you committed it. He observed everything you did, everything you said, every attitude of your heart, every thought of your mind. You can't shock him, but he's waiting for you to confess it and to agree with him about it. But some people live in bondage to the past because they live in bondage to fear, or they fear that they will never be able to be used by God again in the future because they have failed God so greatly in the past. Hey, aren't you glad today God's a God of second chance? Aren't you glad when we do blow it that God just doesn't throw us away? Hey, we have to go through times of repentance. We have to deal with our sins. Sometimes there's consequences to our sins that follow us all the days of our life. But I don't believe a person can ever sin to the point that God cannot use them again if they deal with their sin like God says to deal with it. Here's one more thing, and then I'll wrap up this morning. Some people are in bondage to their past because they are in bondage to bitterness and unforgiveness. I'll never be able to forgive them for what they did to me. Do you realize what a person says that? What they're saying is, I'm in bondage. You've sold your soul to that person. You've given them the keys of your life when you say that. I'll never speak to them again. I don't want anything to do with them. And every time you see them, what happens to you? You get a new ulcer. All these nasty thoughts come back through your mind. You've turned your life over to that person. That's the reason God says you cannot be right with him and wrong with other people. Now, I realize there are things that people can do to us that can be so hurtful that we never get over the consequences of those. And there are some hurtful people that you have to avoid and you have to be careful about. But you cannot harbor unforgiveness, resentfulness, hatred, anger, and malice towards them. If you do, you're not right with God, and you're in bondage to the past. And when you get there, God can't work in you. Until you get past that. Hebrews 12, 14, and 15, pursue peace with all men, the sanctification without which no one will see the Lord. See to it that no one comes short of the grace of God, that no root of bitterness springing up causes trouble, and by it, that root of bitterness, many are defiled. Matthew 5, 23, 24, therefore, if you are presenting your offering at the altar, and there remember at the place of worship that your brother has something against you, you leave your offering there before the altar and go first. You be reconciled to your brother and then come back to the place of worship and present your offering. Ephesians 4, 31, 32. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger, clamor and slander be put away from you along with all malice. Be kind to one another, tenderhearted, forgiving each other just as God in Christ also has forgiven you. The burden of the past, the bondage of the past. Thirdly, this morning I'll finish with this, the breaking of the past. How do we break from our past? What can you and I do to put our past behind us in order to press on for what God has for us in the future? Well, I believe in being practical. I also believe in making application. So I want to give you something this morning to leave with that I think I'm going to make it as simple as I can. I want to give you five words that express five key truths that we must follow if we want to be free from the past so that God can revive us in the present and in the future. I'm going to do this quickly, but listen very, very carefully this morning. Word number one is the word commitment. Commitment. There must be a commitment to be finished with the past. You must make a commitment to settle in your heart that God desires for you to keep moving forward to what lies ahead. You must put the past behind you. Put it behind you now. Yes, you have to deal with it properly. I'll talk more about that in just a second. You must not dwell on it. You can't go back. God has a plan for you and a purpose for you today and tomorrow. Commit yourself to what God has for you and not what he had for you. This must be the attitude of your heart. Again, Paul deals with that here. Philippians 3, 13 and 14. Brethren, I don't regard myself as having laid hold of it yet. But one thing I do, forget what lies behind. Reaching forward to what lies ahead, I press on towards the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. One of my favorite sections of scripture is found in Jeremiah 29. The children of God had been in captivity in Babylon. And they were in captivity in Babylon because they'd been disobedient to God. 70 years they dwelt there. But yet, as they began to get right with God and had a longing to go back to their promised land, God began to work afresh and anew. And he comes back and he gives his people, who had been a complete failure, he gives them this promise. For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. plans for welfare and not for calamity, to give you a future and a hope. Then you will call upon me and come and pray to me, and I will listen to you, and you will seek me and find me when you search for me with all your heart, and I will be found by you, declares the Lord. That's his promise. Hey, make a commitment to God and to yourself to be finished with the past. Word number two is confess. Confess. Confess and repent of any past sin in your past, and make restitution with your past wrongs as possible. This, again, is one of the keys to dealing with past. Where there is sin in your life, it must be completely confessed and repented of. Be thorough in your repentance. And folks, there is no way around this matter. And until you confess and repent of such sin, you will always be in bondage to it. And you know, there are times that God may well put on your heart to make restitution. And sometimes it takes us making restitution where restitution can be made for us to get freed from our sin. I'm going to use an illustration from own life. I'm not real proud of that I'm about to share with you. I shared this with our men of integrity when we were talking about this very matter. But back in my high school years, a friend of mine and I went to a grocery store not far from where we lived, and we stole cigarettes. And obviously the reason we stole cigarettes is because he was smoking cigarettes. We knew we were doing wrong when we did it. It was a couple years after that I got right with the Lord. And God forgave me of that sin, I know that, when I asked him to forgive me. But you know what? Every time I went by that grocery store, I got convicted. Bondage. The enemy kept going, you think you're a Christian? How could you be a Christian and do what you did? How could you be a Christian and steal? And by the way, it's a good question. I fought this for years. I wish I could tell you I dealt with it in a day or two. I went by that grocery store dozens of times. It was right down the street from where we lived. And every time I went by it, bondage, guilt, condemnation from the enemy. And boy, I was sitting in a conference one day when the teacher told us of the importance of dealing with restitution, where restitution can be made. And you know what? It took me, I wish again I'd tell you I did it the next day. It took a while, but I finally got up the nerve after praying about it. I went to that store. I found out what a couple of cartons of cigarettes cost, and probably cost twice as much then as when we stole them. I found out what tax was. I wrote out a check. I asked where the manager of the store was. I found him. I went to him and I said, "Sir, can I speak to you for a moment?" And he said, "Certainly." And I told him what I did. I just knew he was going to call DeKalb County Police, come lock me up. Well, after he picked his jaw off the floor from me telling him what I did, I asked him to forgive me. I gave the check. I said, "I'm sorry for what I've done." Well, we sat there. He took it. He said, "Young man," he said, "I appreciate your courage to do what you did today. I forgive you." We talked about the Lord for a few moments. He talked about how God was working in his life. I've been by that store a million times since that point. I've never once felt condemnation again. Never once felt guilt. Never once in bondage to my past. I got freed. And folks, there may be things you need to go back and get right. And until you do, you'll be in bondage to your past. Commitment, confession, number one, three words, claim. Claim God's forgiveness and grace. 1 John 1:9, aren't you glad that's in the Bible? If we confess, by the way, it's conditional. It's conditional. If we confess our sins, not your neighbor's sin, not your spouse's sin, not your children's sin, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and righteous not only to forgive us of our sins, but to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. He confesses when we confess. If we confess, he cleanses. So claim God's forgiveness. One of my one of my favorite verses in the Bible, Psalm 103, verse 12, it says, as far as the east is from the west, so far has he removed our transgression from us. You know, it's a good thing he did not say, as far as the north is from the south, so far has he removed our sin from us. He says east is from the west. You see, I'm in Silver Creek, Georgia, correct? Hey, I went through Silver Creek yesterday. I blinked and was through it. And we were coming up that way from Atlanta. And if I was to head out from Silver Creek north, I have no clue what direction that would be. But if I was to head out north right now, I would walk a long time, but eventually I'd get to the North Pole. And once I got to the North Pole, the next step I was to take, I'd be going what direction? South. There'd be a limit. There'd be a limit to God's forgiveness. But God said, as far as the east is from the west. Now, if I headed out east today from Silver Creek, Georgia, when and where would I ever hit west? I'd have to turn around, wouldn't I? It's eternity. It can't happen. And folks, if God separates our sin from us that far, hey, you have to forgive yourself. Deal with it. Deal with it properly and thoroughly. And once God forgives you, forgive yourself. We all have scars from our sins. Scars can remind you of how rotten and how sorry you were. Or those scars can remind you of God's grace. I'm not going to show you this morning, but I have a scar on my stomach from about right here to right here. It's been there since I was 12 years old. At the age of 12, I had major surgery. I had to have my gallbladder and my spleen taken out, and they did the old-fashioned kind of surgery back then. I was born with a blood condition that caused my spleen to overreact, and it was the size of a football as a 12-year-old, and that caused all kind of junk to be thrown into my gallbladder, and I had gallstones, and I just told you more medical than I know right there. But I was a sick little boy. At the age of 12, I had surgery, and I've got the scar to prove it. And folks, for the last 58 years, does that make 70? I've seen that scar. And I could, every time I've seen it, go, oh, I was so sick back then. Oh, I was so bad. I could dwell on how sick it made me. I could do that. Or every time I see that scar, I can go, looky here, I got healed. I'm a new person. God healed me. And folks, when the enemy wants to throw up the scars of your sins in the past, if you've dealt with them right, you can wallow in the guilt of it. Or you can say, thank God for his grace and his forgiveness and his goodness. Word number four, cultivate. And what I mean by this, we must cultivate in our minds and our hearts the truth of God's word. See what God has to say about the past, what he has to say about what he wants me to do in the present, and what is coming in the future for those that love him. Don't dwell on those bad things. Dwell on those things that are good. You don't always have to dwell in the negative past. Put your mind on things above, not the things of this earth. Colossians 3, Philippians 4. And last word today is the word choose. Choose to press on. Hey, make a deliberate choice to press on towards the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. Don't rest on your laurels. Don't be satisfied with where you are. Press on. And church, let me say this to you. You're at a crossroad. You really are. And you can be so caught up with your past that you never get past today. Oh, I remember how it used to be. I wish we could go back to those good old days. Well, I got news for you. You can't. You can't. Quit trying. God has a plan for you today, and it's for your welfare and for your goodness and for your blessing. If you will forget what lies behind and press on to what He has for you, hey, the best is yet to come. Don't dwell in the past. Don't keep talking about what it used to be like. It will not be that way again. But thank God that He has a future and a plan. Forget what lies behind. Press on to what lies ahead. Father, thank You for Your word. I don't know, Lord, why You just wanted me to press out on so hard here, but I did. I pray it fell on ears that will hear. Lord, help us to look at what You want to do in our lives today and what You want to do tomorrow. Thank You for what You've done in the past. Oh God, we're all so grateful of the ways You've moved in our lives, the experiences we have had with You. We're so thankful for churches that we grew up in that You used to bless us and to encourage us, and we could see Your hand at work. Thank You for letting us be a part. But Lord, at the same time, we don't live there. We can't live there. Help us to press on. Help this church, Lord, to press on to what lies ahead. Help the people of this church to believe with all their heart that God has a purpose, a plan for their welfare for today and even for the days to come. May that be the pursuit of our heart. May we be like Paul, to put the past behind us and press on to what lies ahead. And then, Father, for that person that might be here today that is in such bondage to their past, whatever the reason, that they cannot find hardly the breath to press on for today or tomorrow. God, would You set them free? Lord, would You let them see that there's nothing that You cannot forgive? There's no sin that they could commit that is beyond Your goodness and Your grace? Today can be a brand new day in their life. Oh Lord, in many ways, today can be the start of a brand new life for them. If they'll come to You, trust their sin to You, and then trust You to work in their life from this day forward. With heads bowed and eyes closed, if you're here today and there's never been a time that you've come to personal faith in Jesus, can I tell you today, He is here to save. And maybe today your first step needs, you need to come and just say, Jesus, forgive me of my sin, and let Him cleanse you and give you a brand new start. Boy, if that's true of you, as we begin to sing a hymn of commitment in a minute, I'm going to be standing down front. Brother Richard's going to be standing in the other service. Would you just come forward during this time and just say, Pastor Ken, Pastor Richard, I need to give my heart to Jesus. I want to start all over. And we'll have somebody share with you from God's word how you can do that and how God can change your life today. If God's spoken to you about other matters, this altar's open. If you need to come and pray, or maybe you just need to come forward and join this fellowship, we too would be delighted to receive you. Father, help us to respond to Your conviction and to that which we need to do today in obedience to Your word. And we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Would you stand to your feet? You respond today as God has spoke to you.